sweaty palms, a racing heart, and a shaky voice, something many of us have experienced, and it's called stage fright. It's what psychologists call glassophobia, and let's be honest, it can be quite paralyzing. Well, today, I'm going to be sharing the most effective public speaking tips to instantly calm your nerves so that you can deliver your presentation flawlessly. And let's step back for a moment. Let's talk about that moment when your name gets called to walk up onto the stage. Your hands start trembling. Your throat tightens. You can feel those butterflies fluttering around in your stomach. Here's what no one tells you. The person on a stage right now who looks completely composed, they're not. They're just better at lying about it. This is the gap between what an audience sees and what's actually happening inside a speaker's nervous system. And those TEDx coaches, you know, the ones I'm talking about that charge like $5,000 to train corporate executives, they have built entire careers on teaching you and them how to widen that gap, but not how to eliminate the anxiety, just to hide it so well that you become invisible to the very thing that's supposed to be watching you suffer.
Your Success DNA Podcast. Your success is in your DNA.
Now, let's be honest here. You've probably heard all the standard advice. Breathe deeply. Visualize success. Practice until your hands stop shaking. And let's be honest, all of it's true. But all of it's also incomplete, because the coaches who actually get hired backstage at TED events know something you don't. Visible anxiety is not your problem. Your relationship with visible anxiety, that is the problem. Let's start with the physiology. When you stand in front of an audience, your amygdala, you know, that threat detection center you've heard me talking about in the past few episodes, in your brain, it activates. Your sympathetic nervous system floods your body with cortisol as well as adrenaline. Your heart rate spikes. Your blood rushes to your large muscle groups and away from your extremities. That is why your hands are shaking. This is why your voice cracks. This is why you forget the second sentence of your carefully memorized opener. Clinically speaking, what's happening is performance anxiety response, a subtype of social anxiety disorder that we talked about in a previous episode. And this affects an estimated 75% of the population to some degree, be it high degree or low degree. Even Toastmaster veterans like myself, people who've logged hundreds of hours of deliberate practice on stage, still feel that exact same cascade. The traditional response, you're told, is to fight it. And you've tried it. Let's be honest. Go ahead. Raise your hand. Yeah, you've tried it. You've gripped the podium tighter. You've caffeinated less. You've done the breathing exercises back in the green room or off on the side behind the curtain while you're watching your reflection in the mirror. And sometimes it helps. Sometimes it doesn't. Because you're still operating under the assumption that anxiety is an enemy to be defeated rather than a signal to be translated, a signal to be checking out, right? Here's what the hidden layer looks like. The best public speakers, and I've seen lots of them, the one who move rooms, the ones who change minds, you know the ones I'm talking about, the ones that literally inspire people to act. They don't eliminate their psychological anxiety response. They reinterpret it. They stand backstage and they feel their heart racing. But instead of thinking, I'm scared, they're thinking, I'm excited. The physical sensations are identical. Your brain doesn't know the difference, but your story about the sensations, that story can change everything. This is called anxiety reappraisal, and we talked about this in a previous episode as well. It is not motivational nonsense. It's not woo-woo or it's not rah-rah. It's hard science. Harvard researcher Allison Wood Brooks spent years studying this exact mechanism and found that people who said, I'm excited, before a high-stakes performance, significantly outperformed those who just tried to calm themselves down. Stanford researchers also tracked speakers for 3 years. The ones who reframed pre-speech anxiety as excitement showed a measurably better delivery, clearer thinking, and higher audience ratings. Not because they were less anxious, but because they stopped fighting the anxiety long enough to use it to their benefit. But here's something deeper happening beneath this reappraisal trick. And this is where the TEDx coaches kind of earn their retainer. They know that you're not actually afraid of the audience. You, my friend, are afraid of disconnection. You are afraid that the person that you are in your head, competent, articulate, full of insight, got messages to share, will not match the person that ends up standing on the stage. You're afraid of the gap between your internal experience and your external projection. And you're absolutely right to be afraid. Because guess what? I'm afraid to tell you, that gap is real. The coaches call this executive presence. But what they mean by it is this. You must become a character. But hold on, hold on. Don't push that skip button yet. I don't want you to become a fake character because you don't want to be a fake character. You want to become a more coherent version of yourself. The version that doesn't apologize for taking up the entire stage, for taking up space. The version that doesn't minimize themselves. The version that knows what it knows. Go ahead and do me a favor here sometime soon. Watch a TEDx speaker for 90 seconds and you'll notice something very specific. They don't move randomly. They move with intention. They pause, uncomfortably long pauses for most people, especially newer speakers. They pause before answering questions. They touch their chest when they're talking about values. They point down when grounding an argument. None of this is natural. All of it is choreography. But it's not performative in a way that the word actually means. It's choreography in a way that a dancer's movements are choreographed to serve a story. Have you ever watched You Think You Can Dance or something like that, right? Those interpretive dances, they tell the story. Those choreographed movements of the speaker, they serve the story. It makes the invisible visible. And here's a second hidden layer for you. Your nervous system is literally wired to take cues from your body language. So when you stand with your shoulders back and your chest open, your brain interprets this as a position of power. Harvard psychologist Amy Cuddy's research showed that holding high power poses for just 2 minutes decreased cortisol by roughly 25% or so, and increased testosterone, which is why it doesn't just feel different. It chemically is different. That, my friends, is not woo-woo or positive thinking. That isn't fake it until you make it. That is endocrinology. Period. Hard stop. Your posture precedes and produces your physiological state. You're not confident first and then standing tall. You're standing tall first, and then your neurotransmitters rush to make sense of why your body is in that power position, in that position of power. The coaches call this anchoring, and they teach it in stages. Stage one is before you speak. You want to spend 2 minutes in a position of expansiveness, hands on your hips, chest open, feet shoulder width apart. Your amygdala still fires. Adrenaline still floods. You're standing in this Superman-type position, but your prefrontal cortex, you know, the part of your brain responsible for rational thinking and impulse control, it gets just enough extra blood flow to stay online. You don't eliminate the anxiety response. You make it just slightly more manageable. Stage two, your first 30 seconds on the stage matter disproportionately to anything else. Not because the audience is the most critical in those 30 seconds. They're actually the most forgiving in the beginning, but you are the most critical. Your nervous system is searching for evidence that you are safe. If you stumble in that first 30 seconds, you've just confirmed the fear you've been hiding in your head. Your amygdala locks down even harder. Your voice gets even tighter. Right? You're now spiraling downward into the gap between who you are and who you're trying to be. So,
Your Success DNA podcast. Your success is in your DNA.
The coaches teach you to stack the deck in your favor. Make that first sentence short. One sentence, no complex clauses, something that you could say in your sleep. Your nervous system now has evidence. Well, shoot, I survived the first sentence. Maybe I'm safe here. By sentence three, your parasympathetic nervous system begins to exchange. Blood flow begins to shift back to your extremities. Your hands stop trembling as much, and you can actually think again. Your brain starts to say, hey, I actually am safe. And here's where most advice is going to stop. But there is another layer, and that's why you come to my show to get that next level, right? And it's one that I think separates the good speakers from the ones that can actually change something in the room. The coaches know that your audience isn't listening to your words as much as they're listening to your certainty. And those of you who've been in an audience of a powerful speaker know exactly what I'm talking about. They're not evaluating the truth of what you're saying in real time. They're evaluating whether you believe what you're saying. Neuroscientist Tasha Urich, an organizational psychologist and researcher who has studied self-awareness extensively, calls this the confidence mirror. We unconsciously mirror the confidence levels of the people that we are watching. If you're uncertain, we become uncertain. If you're grounded, we become grounded. This is why a speaker who seems terrified can deliver a technically perfect bit of content and still fail to engage or move the room. The audience is too busy catching your anxiety to ever absorb your message. So the hidden technique is this. You must decide in advance what it is that you are certain about. Not certain about everything. I want you to be certain about just one thing, one central idea that lives in your body, not just your brain, right? The coaches are going to call this your anchor statement. For a speaker talking about climate change, it might be, the future is not predetermined. For a founder pitching investors, it might be, we solve a problem that costs people billions. You repeat this to yourself backstage, in the green room, behind the curtain, wherever it might be, and you feel it in your chest. When you stand on that stage and your amygdala starts firing, you don't focus on your breathing or your hand position. You focus on your anchor. You let that certainty radiate out from you like the sun. Okay? And here's the most uncomfortable part. The certainty does not have to be true. Sorry to say. It has to feel true in your body. And the coaches know this, and that's why they teach it. They know that the most persuasive speakers aren't the ones with the best arguments. No, and you know that too. But they are the ones with the most coherent internal experience. They are the ones who have integrated their fear instead of just fighting it. There's a TED Talk coach in San Francisco who charges like, I don't know if I remember correctly, $8,000 for a 3-hour session. In those 3 hours, she doesn't teach you breathing techniques. She makes you speak your core idea 47 times. Not until you're perfect, but until you believe it, until your voice stops wavering because your doubt no longer has anywhere to hide. By the end of the session, you don't sound different. You sound the same, but now you sound inhabited. Someone who's actually living inside their own words instead of reading from a script that maybe someone else wrote. You with me? Okay. And this is where we hit, let's call it a false floor. You might think the goal here is to become a confident public speaker. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not. The goal is to become someone who can sit inside discomfort without abandoning themselves. Because here's what happens after you master all these speaking techniques that you could ever learn. You speak. The anxiety disappears, the audience responds, and then maybe after 50 or so successful talks, you start to realize something. You never actually became more confident on stage. You became better at performing confidence. You became better at the gap between your internal experience and your external projection. And the question that's going to eat at you then is this: when does the performance stop being a performance? When does the character become the person? Or does it never? Do the best speakers in the world just get better, or just get better at lying? Okay. The TEDx coaches, really, they don't answer this question. Why, you may ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because they can't. Because the answer is that there is no clean endpoint. The gap doesn't close. You just get better at dancing inside that gap. You get better at letting the audience see in just enough of your humanity to trust you, while keeping enough of your uncertainty hidden to remain interesting. You become a translator between the you that you are and the you that you can become, maybe that you're headed to become. And this is the trap. Once you understand how public speaking actually works, once you see the machinery beneath the magic, you, my friend, cannot unsee it. Every TED Talk becomes a performance that you're analyzing instead of feeling. Every motivational speech becomes a series of techniques that you're watching instead of absorbing the content. You gain the power to move rooms. You lose something smaller but harder to name, the ability to forget that you're standing alone in the dark in front of 1,500 people who have no obligation to believe you. The real secret isn't how to hide your anxiety. It's how to become someone worth believing anyway. Yeah? Okay? Now, you know, everything we've talked about today, the anxiety, the reappraisal, the anchor statement, the gap between who you are and who you're becoming, this is exactly the kind of thing we dig into every single week on the Unleash Your Success DNA newsletter. It's not your typical hustle harder, woo-bah, woo-woo, pumped you full up of motivation. No, it's a weekly dose of mindset shifts and habit upgrades mixed with my little dose of rebellion. And it's really built for all my aspiring folks out there, those that are looking to level up, be they entrepreneurs or 9-to-5 escapees, or just Joe Schmo or Jane Schmo out there, just wanting to level up. All of the folks who are done following someone else's blueprint. So maybe if today's episode hit a little different and you felt something shift inside you, then you need to be on this newsletter. You need this newsletter in your life. So head on over to Your Success DNA. It's free. It's real. And it just might be the thing that finally closes that gap between the person you are and the person you are meant to be. Don't wait. The best time to rewire was, you know, yesterday. And the second best time is right now while the ideas are still fresh in your head. Okay. So before I leave you today, I want to leave you with my usual whiskered wisdom. And here's what I want to make sure you walk away with today. The stage that you're going to speak on or that you just spoke on is not the problem. The audience that you spoke to or are about to speak to, they're not the problem. And I'm even going to tell you that you are not the problem. The only thing standing between you and the speaker, the leader, the founder, the person, the whatever that you're capable of being is the story that you keep telling yourself about your own anxiety. So stop trying to silence the fear and start learning to speak through it. Yeah, Yeah, I didn't even say speak to it, because the most powerful speakers in the world, they aren't fearless. They're just fluent inside their own fear. And here's the one action I want you to take. Do this today, right after you're finished listening. Grab yourself a piece of paper or open up your notes app and write down your anchor statement. One sentence. The one thing that you are absolutely certain about, be it in your business, in your life, in your whatever, right? What your message, something that lives in your chest, in your body, in your heart, in your soul, not just in your head. And say it out loud. Say it 10 times. Feel it settle into your body. This, my friends, is not a speaking exercise. This is an identity exercise, and it will change more than just how you perform on stage. Okay? So let's kind of wrap things up here today. Your anxiety isn't your enemy. It's your signal. Reframe it. Anchor yourself in what you know to be true. That statement you just practiced. I just told you to practice, okay? Stand tall before you feel confident. And remember, the gap between who you are and who you're becoming, that, my friend, is not a flaw. That is the work. And if this episode moves something inside you, maybe just a little bit, go ahead and share it with someone else you know probably needs to hear it. Drop a comment. Tell me what your anchor statement is. I truly want to know, okay? And if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to Unleashing Your Success DNA newsletter at yoursuccessdna.com, because this conversation does not stop here. It continues on there, and it will continue again next week. Now go. Stop preparing. Stop rehearsing your excuses. Why? Because the room is waiting for you. Think successfully and take action.
Thanks for listening to Your Success DNA podcast. Whether you're starting out or you're a seasoned entrepreneur, we have the tools and inspiration that you need to take your life to the next level. So stay tuned for more game-changing advice in our upcoming episodes. And hey, before you go, a quick reminder to check out our past episodes of Your Success DNA for more inspiring stories and practical advice. And if you've loved what you heard, leave us a review and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. Let's all level up our lives together, shall we? Remember, your success is in your DNA.